Radio. You tune in to Taylor Tech Stories with myself, Ben Taylor. And today's guest, we've got James Ward, who's the CEO of Marine Resources, in with us to tell us all about his career journey. So, James, if I immediately pass over to yourself to introduce yourself, what you do, and what Marine Resources are all about, and then we'll dive into your career journey.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks very much for asking me along. So my name's James Ward. I'm the CEO and founder of Marine Resources. We've been around for about 18 years now, and we are a specialist recruitment company within the leisure marine and the super yacht sector. We only do shore-based recruitment, and we really have kind of five main areas that we recruit across. It's the skilled trades, you know, the guys that hold the tools and build the boats and install the engines, that sort of thing. Designing and engineering is a big part for us. You know, we recruit a lot of yacht designers, that sort of thing. And then we do a lot of sales and marketing and operational professionals as well, right up to very, very senior level kind of executive search. And we're very, very sort of passionate marine business, full of, passionate marine people who sort of like to work with people on their careers in this industry.
All right, amazing. And I've known you for a while, and obviously we're in similar spaces, but I have no idea what your career journey is. So after education, kind of job number one, what does that look like? Whereabouts is it? Any lessons you got from that first job? What's step one?
Yeah, well, going right back there, the education piece kind of ended relatively early for me. I got through sort of GCSEs, and I sort of fumbled my way through college, and but kind of I think quite quickly realized that wasn't for me. And I'm originally from Devon, a place called Exmouth, great seaside town, and I've always been into sort of sailing, and I was lucky enough to sort of finish my short stint of education, and didn't really know what to do, and I ended up getting a job locally in a boat builders just up the coast in a place called Lyme Regis for Chris Turner, who is currently now the CEO of Ovington Boats. But back then he had a business called Specialized Marine, and he kindly took me in, and I sort of started to learn how to be a boat builder, and quite specifically sort of composite boat builder. And we were building sort of carbon fiber international 14s, and you'd slog me away for hours and hours and hours into the night trying to build these things as quickly as possible. And at the time, the international 14s were unbelievably sort of popular as a class, and they had a world championships in the UK. We were sort of building these boats into the night, and little did I know at the time that we were building these things for the sort of the top guys in the fleet, I was sort of head down, just doing what I was told. We built some pretty fast boats. So I kind of got that bug for working, building boats. And I learned a lot from Chris and a guy called Tim Parsons, who ran the workshop a little bit at the time. But at the time I was also doing a lot of sailing myself, a lot of racing, and I had an opportunity to go and work at a boat builder and sailmaker up in the West Midlands, a company called Speed Sails. And so I ended up sort of packing my bag and heading on up there. And that was an interesting time for me because, I was 19 years old at that stage, grew up by the sea in a town in Devon, and then suddenly I was in an industrial estate on the outskirts of Birmingham. So it was a real kind of, I suppose, culture shift in a way, and a bit of an eye opener for me. And it was a great company. Like I loved working up there, and it was a bit landlocked for me, And I was, you know, I did a sort of 2 or 3 years at Speeds, met some real characters up there, learned a lot, you asked about lessons and stuff like that. I remember my first day was part of my job. I had to run the shop, run the chandlery, right? And my very, very first day, I'd moved up there that weekend, and the guys had all just come back from a boat show. And I walked into this industrial unit, and they'd just unloaded the lorry, and it was just piles and piles and piles of wetsuits and bags and kit and cleats and rope, you know, a mountain of it. And they literally just went, right, you run the shop now, off you go, sort that lot out. I had no idea what I was doing. And I literally spent a week just like looking at this pile of carnage and trying to figure out how to build a shop. But anyway, ended up figuring it out in the end. And I always remember that first day as well, actually, that in the conversations with these guys about coming to work for them, they sort of said, oh, you know, don't worry, it's all good. We'll help you find you somewhere to live. And that's the thing. So it's like, great. And of course, like I said, I was sort of 19 at the time. I was like, yeah, brilliant. So, you know, end of that day of climbing this mountain of stuff, I kind of said to the guys that run the company, I said, so where am I living? And they went, we don't know. So luckily I had some friends in the area, and they very kindly put me up on their sofa for a few weeks whilst I got myself sorted. But I think that very, very quickly took me from the comfort of my living at home with the comfort of the surroundings I knew and the seaside town, and into, okay, now life is real, and I've got to actually kind of get ahead of this a bit and work out stuff like, where do I live, how do I pay rent, and, you know, and all that sort of thing. So thankfully I had some, like I said, some friends at the time who got me set up. And so I worked for them for a couple of years, and I was building the boats, I was running the shop, and I was doing a bit of racing at the weekends with them. One of the cool things about working with Speed Sales is that you got given a boat of your choice to go and race at the weekend. So that was a big draw for me. I was coming down to Southampton a lot at the time, and I was doing a lot of sailing and racing from there. And so I wanted to move to Southampton, and I didn't know where to look for jobs in the area for boat builders or in the marine industry. I didn't know who to speak to about recruitment. And I had some friends at the time that just got into recruitment who were doing pretty well for themselves. And, you know, I was a cocky 21-year-old by that point, and I just thought, well, if they can do it, I can do it. And, you know, I moved down to Southampton, actually again, lived on some friend's sofa for a couple of months until a room became available in their house. And I kind of set the business up from there. And, you know, I spoke to a lot of people who were in recruitment, and they kind of said to me, you know, the most important thing is that you have a good database of people looking for a job. And once you've got that, you just need to kind of get on the phone and speak to as many companies as possible. So I did just that. And I started the business with, you know, my mobile phone, which back then was about that big, you know, and it just had my contacts were, you know, boat builders and marine engineers, engine technicians, that sort of thing. And was sort of spent a lot of time phoning around the local businesses in the Southampton and the Hamble area to see if they needed anybody, if they were recruiting. And it kind of went from there, really. I was very fortunate that I happened to, after sort of days and days and days of phoning up these companies, not really knowing what I'm doing, happened to phone up a local marina. And the guy sort of said, well, actually, have you got any marine engineers? My marine engineer has just walked out on me. It was springtime. It was early spring, so all the boats were going back in. So this guy, he was anti-fouling. He was servicing the boats. He was getting the boats ready. He had all the customers wanting to get out on the boats at the weekend. And he said, "Look, if you've got somebody who can start, straight away, I'll take them." And luckily enough, I did. And we got somebody down there, and they had an interview, and he pretty much started the next day. And this guy, was over the moon that I was able to sort of provide that service straight away and find this person and really kind of save his bacon, I suppose. and then we sent him this invoice and he paid on time, and, I couldn't believe it. I was a few months into the business at this point, and I kind of had this recruitment fee of, a few thousand pounds. I guess that was a bit of a crossroads of moment again for me, because I probably, when you're 21 and you just suddenly get given a few thousand pounds and you're running the business from your bedroom, you can either go out and have a great weekend, or you can go and use it. And I like to think I made the right choice there. And, we put it into, getting a website and that sort of thing, and some business cards, and it kind of went from there, really. And I think that moment there, I always reflect back on that, because I think, right, what did I do at that moment that really worked for this guy? And he saw the value to pay for that service. And, and it came back from, at that moment, we had a good network. I had a good network of people. I had somebody that he needed. And was that the right skill set?
Was that built from literally, here's loads of people, let's ring them up, see if there's something there? Cold call, pretty hardcore, kind of lots of rejections, but one might just say maybe, and one in 200 might say yes.
That's absolutely. Yeah, it was that kind of sort of traditional, smash the phones and you just keep going and keep going until somebody says yes. And I knew the model worked because people were doing recruitment, right? And there wasn't that many people doing it in the marine industry. So I think at the time I probably wasn't savvy enough to go, I've seen a gap in the market or anything like that. I just knew that the concept of a recruiter works. So at some point we just got to keep going. And I had literally nothing else. So I had to keep going.
Not so since.
Yeah. And I think this guy at the time, he we had a good network. He valued that. We had good knowledge. Like, I understood what his business did. I understood the role of the marine engineer and the concept of putting boats in. So we understood that. And we were able to turn it around quickly. So he got good service. And I've always kind of stuck to those really three kind of core values, I suppose, in the business. Good service, good network, good knowledge. And actually, we've really built the business from that over the years. And that was the beginning of Marine Resources. And, in a way, the rest is history, Ben, but that doesn't make a very good story for your radio show.
No, absolutely true. And I love that kind of the initial grind and seeing, like, it's all right saying, right, okay, look how great Marine Resources are now. But then the history and the reality and story behind it always fascinates me. And it's so often driven by the people. And it's interesting seeing that actually the reality is, I mean, there must have been a reality at one point when you're at someone's sofa going like, what am I doing here? Like, am I onto something, or am I losing it? Losing your marbles?
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, there's definitely those moments for sure. But I don't know, I just sort of always I think I'm probably quite resilient, and I always sort of back myself. And I think you've got to, whether it's when you're setting up a business right at the beginning, or whether it's been in the last year through COVID, you've just got to have this, try and have this sort of unwavering confidence that you can do it, and not really allow yourself to think that you can't, because that's a slippery slope.
Yeah, otherwise, how can people have confidence in you, right? So, so I like to always finish on a vision and looking forward. So for you personally, and then I'm assuming it's with Marine Resources, what's your kind of vision or what you want it to become?
Well, we've been around for a while now, and I think over the last few years, we've shifted from being a very reactive recruiter, you give us a job, we fill it, to really recognizing that, you know, what's the value of a specialist recruiter or a recruitment partner to your business? It's not just filling jobs, because that bit is sort of easy, and you know, and I don't want to kind of undermine what we do, but everybody now has access to a lot of the same tools, whether you're a recruiter, whether you're a business owner, whatever. Everyone has LinkedIn, everyone can sign up to job boards, and you know, you see a lot of recruiters out there in all industries that where their service is literally sort of taking your job and posting it out on a job board and just sending you the applications. And I really worry about that, because it really, there's not a lot of value in that, because like I said, everyone has access to those tools. Recruitment used to be who can get the best person. Now it's just who can get the best person first. And of course, there's always that time saving element. And yes, as recruiters, we are trained on using these various tools as a recruitment tool. But I think the real what's happened in the last few years, we've really understood our value. And interestingly, it goes right back to the sort of the values that we had right at the beginning. Is, you know, the thing that people value in the most in Re Resources is certainly the network that we have. And we talk a lot about active and passive candidates. Active candidates are people who are out in the market, sending CVs to every job, applying to every job. Passive candidates are people that, you know what, they, for the right opportunity, they would move, but they're not out in the market and they're not firing their CVs. They're the ones that we have the relationship with to say, who say to us, look, you know, when that right thing comes up, you let me know. And you can't get that. You can't buy that. You can't have a job board that sorts that. That is built from years and years and years of building those relationships with people either in the industry or outside the industry. So the future really for Marine Resources is actually really doubling down on the value add piece. So it's, you know, it's how do we get a better network? How do we build better relationships? How do we get a better passive candidate network? What tools can we provide to our clients to help that recruitment process? So we're investing at the moment in things like applicant tracking systems that we can offer our clients, you know, so they have an easier portal to use. You know, I look at email and things like that. It's quite old school now, right? You know, and everything's much more instant, whether it's instant message or, you know, whatever. And we want to move away from email. We want to give our clients a portal that they can actually manage their whole recruitment process through. We do huge amounts on like behavioral profiling for our clients and motivational mapping, you know, really helping the clients to understand not just the skill set they're bringing into the business, but the behavioral profiles of these people as well. And how you embed those people into the cultures of your business to make kind of the best teams. And so we are growing very, very fast. You know, we are at max capacity in what we do. And I think the future of recruitment has to be in any industry, this value add piece. I see the big recruitment companies who just sort of churn out CVs, the value of those businesses going down. So we are trying to expand with the value add and the additional services. We're trying to do more with our current client base rather than trying to really push hard into new markets and start again in new markets. And it's just, we're continuing on a mission to be recognized as the leaders in what we do in the leisure marine and the super yacht sector globally, you know, and we definitely have some global ambitions coming in the next 12 to 24 months. You know, I'd like to see key people located in key kind of marine hubs around the world. I think we have a really good model, and I think we can I think it can be a benefit of all companies, doesn't matter where they're based.
Right, amazing. And you know me, I'm a big fan of technology and this whole profiling and getting an understanding of, I suppose, the whole character of an individual rather than qualifications, skill set and experience. So that, yeah, I completely see that. So look, James, thank you so much for coming on the show and telling us about your journey and what you're all about. So a big thank you from me and from our audience. We'll keep in touch, and I'm sure we'll cross paths again.
Great. Thanks, Ben. Speak again.
All right. Thank you, everybody. This week's guest has been James Ward from Marine Resources. I've been your host, Ben Taylor, and you're on Yachting International Radio. I will see you again next week with another story of an entrepreneur here in the marine industry. Bye for now.